Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Congresswoman Dina Titus coming to you from Washington, D.C., from CD1, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. University Medical Center of Southern Nevada. Compassion, accountability, integrity, respect. The Nevada Mining Association, mining a better future for Nevada. And NV Energy. NV Energy proudly serves Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Washington, D.C., we are always delighted, and finally, after a couple of years getting to do this in person, Congresswoman Dina Titus from CD1. Pleasure to have you back.
Well, always. Good to see you too, Sam.
Thank you. We have lots of stuff to get to. Let's start out with the top of the news, and that's what's happening with the Haitians along the border and being deported. What are your thoughts on this? Because there's a lot of heat going on.
Well, certainly those pictures of people on horseback and seem to be whipping the Haitian refugees are just horrendous. That's certainly not an image we want to have or an action that we condone. I understand that some are being flown back to Haiti. Some are being given asylum. We want it to be as humane as possible. But another thing that I asked the Secretary of Homeland Security just today in a hearing was, what are we doing in the countries where they're leaving? These people are victims of coyotes and people who scam them, false information about come to the border, it's open, you can come in. We need to work with the State Department as well as Homeland Security in those countries with locals, with NGOs, to get out the real information and discourage these people from giving up everything and paying these exorbitant prices to come to the border.
Should we be also increasing funding to these countries where they are coming from to provide a life for them there so that they are not forced to try and get to the United States? Because their living conditions obviously are horrendous by comparison.
I absolutely think we should. There are several problems. One is extreme weather has caused a lot of hardship. Just the general economies of those countries are shot. And then the crime rates there. It's dangerous for families, women, children. So anything we can do to shore up those countries in that triangle, I think, keeps them from being pushed into the need for immigration.
What do you say to people, including Democrats, who are looking at this situation and saying, Well, you know, we were mad about this during the Trump administration and what was going along the border. And now we are starting to get mad at Biden because it seems like we're having the same kind of problems.
Well, the president wants to have a humane immigration system, which is broken from soup to nuts, that we need to reform, whether it's visas or DACA or TPS, all of that. Now, the TPS has been expanded for some of those countries. But, you know, I think that people are given more of an opportunity. If you're a refugee, you should be treated with respect. We're not only dealing with the border, we're dealing with the Afghan refugees, too. I think about 150 have come to Nevada. Our office works a lot with the Immigration Center at UNLV, with legal services, and with Catholic Charities, to help people who get here with nothing.
Governor Sisolak has made it very clear that he feels that Nevada should be a very welcoming place for these Afghan refugees.
Well, absolutely. You know, I represent the most diverse district in the state, one of the most diverse in the country. People from all over the world live there, and people from all over the world visit there. That's what we're known for, being an international city. So we should absolutely be welcoming.
So let's talk about the Afghan situation for a moment. You know, obviously, this pullout was going to be started under the Trump administration. If he had been reelected, it would have gone forward. Joe Biden is doing, in my opinion, what should have been done, which is to pull the United States out. That was a piece of studio furniture falling over, not a problem. Were you shocked when the news reports for so long have been, we've got 2,500 troops there, we've got 3,500 troops, and then when it comes to the evacuation, we're talking over 100,000 troops? Did you have any idea that we had troops, and not troops, but contractors, embassy people, the affiliates? Were you shocked at how big the number was?
Well, I was, maybe so. It was certainly a large number of Afghans who wanted to get out of the country because they just don't know what to expect from a Taliban government. If it's the same as it was when they were in charge before, it's going to be pretty devastating, especially for women and girls, and the progress that's been made towards democracy. And it looks like there's some of the same players left over. But we have a commitment to get out all Americans. 98% have gotten out. There are a few left, but our commitment does not change. And then to those people who are our allies, whether they were interpreters or worked for contractors, they committed to us, and we don't want to leave them in danger. So we brought them out. That was a miraculous airlift. It was a tragic incident with the killing of our soldiers. But getting out that many people in that amount of time, only the United States could have done that.
Well, agreed. But I'm just saying, was the number surprising to you? Because, I mean, well over 100,000 people were evacuated, which is great, but that, to me, was just an astonishingly high number.
Well, you got to stop and remember that we were there for 20 years, and so we built up a lot of forces there, a lot of people who worked with us, and they brought their families. And so you add the families to the people who work for us, and I guess maybe that number's not that high.
As a former political science teacher, you surely remember the Pentagon Papers very well, and that was a situation where no president wanted to admit that the United States had lost a war. Was that the same situation in Afghanistan? Do you feel that we just kept on staying there because we didn't want to admit that we couldn't win, just as the Soviets had not been able to win?
Well, or the British before the Soviets.
And probably several thousand years of other people who tried.
Exactly. Well, there were two things. One part was successful. We did win. We originally went in there to get bin Laden and to stop al-Qaeda. We succeeded at that. Then George Bush changed the mission to nation building, and that was impossible, and that's what we failed at. But if you think of the number of tribes, the different religions, the different ethnic groups, the geography of the country that makes it impossible to build infrastructure, which is needed to build a nation, and the thousands of years that you mentioned, it's no wonder that we couldn't accomplish that.
Is this a lesson that you think we've learned now?
Well, I hope so. I hope that we realize that our form of democracy isn't transplantable to every place in the world.
Let's take a break. More with Congresswoman Dina Titus after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter. Powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season two of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congresswoman Dina Titus of CD1, and we're recording here in Washington, D.C. Tourism obviously has been in a major way affected by coronavirus. We're starting to see just this week as we're taping this some changes in the rules for people to be able to come here from abroad. How bad is it and how long do you think it's going to take for us to be able to get back to normalcy for international tourism?
Well, you're right. In Nevada, we depend so much on tourism that when the economy is hit, we're hit harder, lasts longer, and it's harder to recover because people have to have a little money in their pocket to come. Now you add to that the fact that they need to feel safe in order to come. So shutting down was very hard, but if we hadn't done that, it would have taken us longer to get back. And now our employees, some of the big gaming companies are requiring vaccinations and masks and testing and all that. People will feel safe coming. Tourism is coming back. All the planes I'm on are full now. International tourism is a little more difficult, but just this week, as you mentioned, some of the restrictions were lifted on our communications or our transportation with the UK, with China, several other parts of the world, so that will help. International tourists are great because they stay longer and they spend more. And the Pacific Rim was really our growth market, so we're hoping to get those tourists back. But even though they're coming back, what we really need are the business travelers. You need to fill those beds during the week, not just on the weekend, and that's been harder. But there's a new kind of traveler that's called a leisure, I believe is the word they've invented.
Leisure, okay.
Business and leisure. It's these people who can work from anywhere. So they go to places that are really great, set up shop in a hotel room, do a little business, and then go out and have fun. So that's a new market that we're trying to attract. And so far, it's been pretty good.
As you know, Elon Musk has built the tunnels under the convention center with plans working currently with the Clark County Commission to spread them all over Las Vegas. And if you go to Elon Musk's company's website, you actually see an extension of the line all the way from Las Vegas to Los Angeles, obviously well into the future. What do you think about transportation that's occurring currently for Southern Nevada? And with the infrastructure bill, will we be able to get the funding needed to help get that train going from Los Angeles to Las Vegas?
Well, I've ridden the car under the convention center, the Elon Musk loop. It's pretty exciting. I think people will want to do it just because it's something new to be in a driverless car.
I did.
Well, there you go. So that's going well. RTC is a great agency. They have been working very hard, more electric buses, more bus lanes, making the streets safe for all kind of pedestrians, bicycles, you name it. So that's going pretty well, but we need to be able to get tourists there and move them around safely. You go on I I-15 from Los Angeles to Las Vegas on the weekend, it's like a parking lot. So anything we can do to make that better will help business and help the individuals not spend so much time in the car and help with air pollution at a time when we're trying to deal with climate change. So I think a speed train is great. I've been supporting that for a long, long time. I was able to put some provisions in the transportation bill that would be, give funding. It's going to be competitive, but we are competitive with Brightline funding to build super speed trains and to increase private activity bond levels, which will also help with the financing. All the train focus has been on the Northeast. We need to have some connecting the Southwest. The distances are greater, but also some of the jurisdictional problems and the geography and all would make it easier to do that.
Would there be the ability to have both an Amtrak train and Brightline, or is it going to be one or the other, do you think?
Well, we're pushing on both fronts because, you know, we used to have Amtrak, but it never worked very well because it got there in the middle of the night and made you wait and somewhere. So I'm not sure. I doubt if you will end up getting both, but either one would be an advantage over what we have now.
All right, let's take another break. More with Congresswoman Dina Titus after this timeout.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County, your RTC, our community. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. University Medical Center of Southern Nevada. Compassion, accountability, integrity, respect. The Nevada Mining Association, mining a better future for Nevada. And NV Energy. NV Energy proudly serves Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Washington, D.C. We continue our conversation with Congresswoman Dina Titus of CD1. So, massive infrastructure bill.
Yes.
My question is, where do we get the workers from to be able to complete the work that we will be funding?
Build it and they will come, Sam. We still have high unemployment rates. People are looking to go back to work, but they want to go back to better jobs with better pay and better benefits. And the jobs created by the infrastructure bill provide all of that. They're good union jobs, and we'll have good wages. And we'll be building farm-to-market roads. We'll be building access to tourist destinations. So those places will come back as well as the construction side.
All right, but we will also need workers at the lower end of the scale. And we have people from all over the world, not just from south of the border, that would like to be able to come to the United States. With all the other bills that are so huge, is there any chance for any kind of immigration bill? And does it have to be comprehensive, or can it be individual things that would allow us to get the workers we want and need rather than trying to do it all at once, which has not worked since 1986?
Well, I've always supported immigration reform. As I said, my district is diverse. This is a big issue in the district. Large Hispanic population, Asian population, that's the fastest growing demographic, and people from all over the world. So we need to reform our immigration system. We are trying to do something with the Dreamer piece. That's just a part of it for those children who have been here since they were little and are just as part of the U.S. as you and I are. We tried to get some immigration in the reconciliation bill, and the parliamentarian, a non-elected officer in the Senate, has said no, but everybody has committed.
Do you have a problem with that? I mean, because doesn't the parliamentarian keep the Senate on the straight and narrow?
Well, the Senate was created by the Founding Fathers as a more deliberative body. They represent the whole state, bigger interest, and serve longer terms. But being deliberative is different from being obstructionist. And so they have these arcane rules, like a parliamentarian can rule something out of order, the Byrd rule that governs what you can put in the reconciliation bill, filibuster. We don't have any of those things in the House.
All right, but would you be in favor of her being fired?
Well, I didn't say you could fire her, but I think you could maybe limit the powers that she has, or in certain circumstances, with a majority, overrule her consideration. Because remember, all of this is based on a person's opinion, a person's experience, and a person's own prejudices.
I wanted to ask you a question, and here in the House studios, we're not allowed to talk about campaign issues.
Right.
But I wanted to ask you, we saw recently with Tick Sagerblum in the Sorva state that he wasn't progressive enough. And we're seeing somebody who has some thoughts potentially of running in Nevada who's saying that you're not progressive enough. Are we seeing a major split in the Democratic Party between... Let's call it ageism.
Oh, God, let's not call it ageism.
I don't know what else to call it, because it seems to me that to say that you or Tick Sagerblum are not progressive enough is about as stupid as I can imagine.
Well, it's interesting that I've been the most progressive person in the
Seriously.
State of Nevada for a long time. But you can't really just call it ageism, because look at Bernie Sanders. He's no spring chicken, and, he's leading a lot of this movement. In the House right now and in the Senate, you've got some splits. On the Senate side, you've got Manchin and Sinema, who are saying this is not enough. This is too much to spend. On our side, you've got a progressive caucus saying it's not enough, and a blue dog caucus saying it's too much. But politics has always been the art of compromise.
And do you think there is compromise to be had in 2021/22?
Well, I would never underestimate Nancy Pelosi's power to get the votes. And so she is going to work on that. They already said, well, the two can go together. We'll compromise in that sense. So I'm an optimist, or I wouldn't be in this business.
The lands bill. What are your thoughts on that? And there's a lot of rhetoric on both sides of that. And it's kind of interesting, because I'm presuming that you're in favor of the lands bill, but also the ring around the valley was your idea as well. And so you want to see things go vertical rather than horizontal.
Exactly.
But this lands bill allows a lot of horizontal.
Well, this was introduced by Catherine. I put in a companion bill. I think she'll get it out of the Senate sometime early next year. I have said from the beginning that this is just a marker, that I am open to suggestion and everybody can come to the table, because you're right. I have always believed in sustainable growth. I know when I had the ring around the valley in the legislature back in the 90s, remember the developers put my picture on the cover of their magazine with a noose around my neck, and they called it Ring Around the Rosie. You remember all of that?
Yes, I do.
So I absolutely won't sprawl. I want to have it manageable, and I want us to keep in our front of our minds air quality that's affected by transportation, which increases with sprawl, and water. And so if we can work on this and again come with some kind of compromise, so you can allow some development in areas where development already exists, and then you can preserve all those acres. This is the largest conservation bill that's ever been introduced for Nevada, so there's some really good things in it, but it's a work in progress.
Are you having lots of conversations with the environmental groups who are opposed opposing this?
Most of them are in support of it because of the conservation side. The Sierra Club has some problems with it, and then there's one group, I forget its name, that's opposed to it. But yes, we've invited them all to the table. We've had a number of meetings. Someone in my district office is tracking it. And also, remember, Mr. Grijalva on our side chairs Natural Resources, and he will absolutely be more concerned about conservation, air quality, protecting natural resources and animals and historical relics and all that. So it's not over.
Ivan Paugh. That seems to be moving down the tracks. Marilyn Kirkpatrick said on this program that she thought before her terms were over, if she were reelected, which would be less than 10 years, that Ivan Paugh would be up and running, others say longer. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about Ivan Paugh? For it, against it?
Well, I had supported it initially. You know, this has been going on for a decade, with some transportation from that remote airport into the city.
Would that be light rail?
Yeah, I think it could be light rail, or it could be just a depot along the track if we get the speed train in there. That was really initially to be a freight airport, to take some of the freight out of McCarran and put it out there. We'll see if it's needed. We'll see if the air travel picks up after COVID. So I don't have an estimate of when it will be, but I know the land's out there, and they've done some of the environmental studies on it, and see what the demand
says. So you're not against it if the demand is there?
No.
Okay, and that's where we have to leave it. It is always a pleasure to
interview. I wanted to talk about the Raiders. How about the Raiders?
Would you come back soon?
I will.
We will put Raiders at the top of the list.
All right.
Always a pleasure, and especially to be here in person with you. Thank you.
Well, you too, Sam. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
More congressional coverage from Washington, D.C. on our next Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you then.